Hey friends, this is Pastor Ron, Pleasant Grove Church. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen today. And here is some good news from the Grove.
All right, so let's do part number six on the essentials. We're coming out of Hebrews 6. Got this list of six essentials here. Repentance from dead works is what the Hebrews writer says. Faith toward God. We talked a little bit about that. Baptisms. We talked a little bit about water baptism the other day. Started talking about spirit baptism. Going to do that tonight, and I believe next week as well, probably. Then the laying on of hands, resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment. So let's get in this idea of baptisms. Water baptism is what we've talked about, and we kind of get the picture of water baptism from the word. Baptism or baptized means to immerse, right? To immerse or to submerge. And it's showing that you're willing now to immerse yourself into a particular thing. Okay, if you're being baptized in water, you're willing to become a follower of Jesus and immerse yourself into the life of Christ, the teachings of Christ, and all the things that go with it. So now we're talking about baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now there's all kinds of terminology, things that you need to know to kind of group things together and kind of know what the Scripture's talking about when it mentions a particular term. These terms are all related to the idea of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. I'm okay with that. Check it. If it ain't in the Word, we don't need it, right? And aren't you glad you baptism and then Spirit baptism? Receiving the Spirit, the coming upon experience. Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Okay, so that's a kind of a different terminology there. Second work of grace is what some folks have called it. You're probably familiar with this term, filled with the Spirit. You familiar with that term? Paul admonishes us, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, right? So and the term Spirit-filled, you're probably familiar with that kind of thing. But, you know, this is all kind of controversial, and the reason we talked about last week, you know why it's so controversial? Because the enemy's worst nightmare is that you begin to live in the reality of the Holy Spirit. That's the enemy's worst nightmare. He hates that. So, all right, so now let's get into this idea of the Holy Spirit. Father sent Jesus. We talked about this last week, but let's add a little bit to it. Father sent Jesus, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? And Jesus keeps talking about sending somebody, another comforter, another one just like me that's going to come and walk with you. And he says this about the Holy Spirit, that he for the body, what does it profit? That's also faith by itself. It's just, he's got you all tied up, tangled up, and he's also going to make, literally, going to make your body or your spirit, soul, however you want to look at it, he's going to make you his temple. And again, we talked about John 14 and 16, lots of things Jesus teaches us about the Holy Spirit. The main thing you need to know about the Holy Spirit is that he's God. He's talking about... So, y'all be sure and get over and say hi to her. And he's been around ever since eternity, forever, you know, literally. So he's been given to be our companion. Okay, it's not about...
When they hit the vehicle, the Hutchinson, they went into the air, flipped.
He's not an experience. He's a companion. And now with a companion, you can have some great experiences. But the idea of the relationship is built upon you. Make sure the preacher's giving you the word, right? You need to check the preacher sometimes too now. All the time, actually. Or you can go over to the water park and have a good time. But what really holds the backbone of your relationship is that you learn to relate to each other day in, day out. Because if all you got to do is spend $1,000 every time to have a good time, you're going to go broke and somebody ain't going to be satisfied. You know? So we kind of become kind of experienced junkies sometimes, if I can say it like that. But kind of get that planted in your mind. All right? So now, this idea... Got some fill in the blank here. To know that he's with you. To know that he can be there on the job with you. He can help you take care of those kids. He can help you raise those babies. He can help your marriage. That's where the gold is, really. And now we're going to have great experiences along the way, no doubt. He's going to take care of that for us. But it's all the gold's in the relationship. So it's about learning to live a whole new kind of life. A life that... See, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, that's the idea. Baptism with the Holy Spirit, it's being immersed into the reality of life with the Spirit of God. And Jesus said, he said things like this. He said, you know, it's just absolutely imperative and better for you that I go away. Because if I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and He's going to come, and He's going to be with you and live in you. It's better for you. Now, we wouldn't think that, because I would love to rewind the clock and go back on those dusty streets of Jerusalem and all those dusty streets of Capernaum and walk with Jesus. I'd love to do that, wouldn't you? If I could time travel, that's where I'd go. Promise. And if you go to trip to Israel, it's almost like time travel sometimes. You kind of can picture the stories and all that. But Jesus said it's better for you to live with the reality of the Holy Spirit and to be immersed into the Spirit than it was for the 12 who were walking around with Him every day. Now that's where we... So there must be something that we hadn't experienced. Right? All right. Life with the Spirit of God. Immersing ourselves into it. All right, so now, again, Jesus is the one. This is a little bit of review still. Jesus is the one who baptizes or immerses us into the life with the Holy Spirit. That's good for me to know, because nobody's got a corner on the market. It's not a denominational thing. It's not a Pentecostal thing. It's not a charismatic thing. It's not a Baptist thing, a Methodist thing. It's a Jesus thing. Jesus is the one. John said that about Jesus, right? We read that scripture last week. I baptize you with water, but there's coming one greater than me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch, or sandals I'm not worthy to unlatch. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Remember that? Okay, so Jesus is the baptizer. In fact, we'll read, maybe see some of that in Acts 1. Jesus says the same thing in Acts 1. And this idea of the Holy Spirit and living with the Holy Spirit, Jesus paid a high price to give you this opportunity. A high price, the highest price, to give you the opportunity to live a Spirit-filled life. Now think of it like this. Think of it like this. We know what it's like to live a self-filled life. We're kind of born into that self-filled life, right? We would do this. If we would join Him in this immersion, this baptizing and live without Him, and they just as cute, yeah. That joke is so self-centered, he'll pitch a fit any old time. It's just kind of in us, isn't it? We know what it is to live a self-filled life. We know what it is to live a sin-filled life. And there have been seasons and times in my life where that was the predominant thing, was how in the world I made plans to sin. I spent money to sin. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I wired my weekend so that I could sin just like I wanted to. I know what it's like to live a sin-filled life. How about this idea? What is it like to live a Spirit-filled life? That's what the Scripture's talking about. It's a whole different reality. All right. Everybody good? Questions, comments? So self-filled, sin-filled. Let's get rid of all that. And let's live Spirit-filled. That's a different kind of life, isn't it? All right. Now let's go over here to John 20. This is what we're going to do with these scriptures, okay? I'm going to pull them up on my screen here. I got you just a little box right there. You can keep make as many notes as you want to as we're walking through these things. We're going to probably look at four or five different ones and do about the same thing next week. So the notes are going to be kind of on you, all right? There'll be a few fill in the blanks here and there, but the notes are going to kind of be on you. All right, so let's go to John 20:17. All right, so now this is immediately after the resurrection in John 20. All right, so let's just kind of pick it up midstream. Verse 17. Jesus said to her, that's Jesus said to Mary. Remember, Mary's the one that came to the tomb, and she's going to be the first one to witness Him resurrected. Do not cling to me, Jesus says, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, talking about the apostles, the disciples, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken these things to her. And then the same day at evening, so the same day He is resurrected now, that same day, sun's falling now, it's nighttime. It's the first day of the week. That's Sunday, as we know it. That's Sunday, right? It's the first day of the week. That's why we worship on Sundays, because Jesus was resurrected on Sunday. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, Okay, now get the picture. What's happening here? Jesus has died. I mean, that the last they saw him, the ones that were there, and that the others got word of it, that he was absolutely beaten, tortured, tormented, and murdered, killed. And he died on that cross. Everybody knew that. Even the Roman soldier knew that. It's the last they saw of him. Now, Jesus has already told them at least three different times, prophesied to them, that I'm going to come back again. 3 days. Give me 3 days. I'm going to come back. But, you know, when you see that kind of horror and you experience that kind of fear and you experience that kind of trauma, you don't remember all that stuff. What are they? You go make disciples. That's the job. That's the assignment, right? That's for every house. We're going to find out that there's 10 of them in there, 10 disciples and maybe some of their family members. Thomas is not going to be there. Thomas comes later in the story. Why are they locked up in that house? Fear. Because guess whose picture's on the post office wall? Theirs. All of them. We want them all. We heard Judas put a line through him. He's gone. Yeah. They got Jesus. They took him out, they think. And now they know they're next on the hit list. Okay. And they're scared to death. They got locks. I mean, it's like that cartoon you see. They got all 52 locks locked up on the door. They say, we in here, boys. Let's figure out what we're going to do. That's what they're doing. And here comes Jesus. Didn't knock. Didn't holler. Did nothing. Walked straight up through that door, locked and everything. Didn't even swing it on the hinges. Just stepped right through. Somebody dropped a coffee cup, I can just tell you. Jesus had to, we'll read it in just a second. Jesus had to tell them, hey, it's me. Whoa, calm down. Peace. Because they probably went into a panic. I mean, think about that. We don't think about the resurrection. And somebody talk about, well, some of this Holy Spirit stuff's weird. Well, the whole thing's weird. We serve a man who resurrected from the dead. That ain't ever happened. So if you want to talk about weird and supernatural, it's all supernatural. The whole idea of Christianity in the scriptures is all supernatural. You can't even get past the first sentence of the Bible without supernatural. In the beginning, God created. So all this stuff about ceasing and no power and all that kind of, that's hogwash. Y'all know what hogwash is, right? That's a Hebrew word meaning and just baloney. That's another Hebrew word, right? You can't even get past the first page, the first sentence without the supernatural, okay? So Jesus just kind of walks right through the door. It's just, what y'all doing in here? I can't wait to talk to Peter about that. He's probably going to talk about 2 or 3 years about that. And let me tell you what I was feeling.
So he was visible to them.
Okay. So after the resurrection, he was not a spirit. He was not what we would consider maybe a ghost. He was not that. Because he's gonna reach out and he's going to do this. It's weird. Strange. He can walk through a door. But then he reaches out his hand and he says, hey, don't you touch my hand. So he's not disembodied spirit. It's a different kind of body. Kind of one I want. Just show up where I want to, when I want to, and get there on time. Anyway. Now listen. Let's get some more text on it. They were assembled because of fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Proof. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And so Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And look, this is what I'm after right here, what he did next. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. It's a powerful moment. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. The next part of that chapter is Thomas. Thomas gets in on the action. Next, you remember that's my Lord, my God. He says, I won't believe unless I can see and touch. So Jesus looks at them and is going to send them out. But he dare not send them out without power. Okay? Now just pick this up. Now, this is before Acts 2 in the sequence of things. This is before Acts 2. This is between resurrection and ascension. This is like the same day of his resurrection, right? And he looks at these disciples and he breathes on them. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, listen. Think about this. Do we have any other Bible story? All right. Let's see if we can do this one more again. All right, so. Well, we got dry bones story. I'm thinking of one in particular. How was Adam created? Remember that? He formed him, shaped him, and then literally it says that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he came alive. So what we're having right here is like a Genesis new creation moment is what we're having with Jesus. It's a question again. Verse 26, for as the... And he's immersing them into this reality of the Holy Spirit that they've only heard him talk about. And he says, receive. And he literally, just like God did with Adam, this is now like the new Adam. This is Jesus' people. He's starting a whole new nation now. We call it the church, the New Testament church. And he breathes into them, and literally what it's an exchange of is an exchange of the life of Jesus into those people, into those men. You get what's going on? All right. Good questions? Thoughts? We sing songs all the time. I mean, breathe on me, breathe on me. Holy Ghost power. What are we talking about? Breath of God. You know, there's all kinds of... What's that? Well, that's extreme. All the way back to tabernacle and temple imagery in the Old Testament. Where God, so I can get some of his... Peter says that we're partakers of the divine spirit, divine life. You want some of that now. That's a different kind of life now, different kind of living. All right, you tracking with me? All right, let's go back to my notes here. All right, so now let's go to Acts. This will be some 40 days later, month and a half later. Okay, we talked about a little bit of this last week. Let's just kind of bring it back together. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of look at these experiences. We're only going to get to two or three of them, and then we'll do two or three tomorrow. Or excuse me, Wednesday. Unless y'all want to come tomorrow. I live right there, so I'm good. I'm all here all the time. So, now, Acts 1:8 again. This is Jesus. He's getting ready to... Bibles, or you can follow along on the screen here. Acts 1 and 2. It's the part of the Bible that makes Christians nervous. Receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Remember we talked about that being that dynamite, that dynamic power, that the enabling power to give you power to do something you can't do on your own. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Wait a minute. Didn't we see in John 20 where he said, receive the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did they? Yeah. Now, this is my interpretation of that. You can hammer it out and think through it yourself. But in John 20, when Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit, I believe they were born again at that moment. Whole new life, born again. We just read that John 1, 32 through 34. But all four Gospels, the Holy Spirit too, it's called the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Jesus. They were born again. Now this is something he's talking about now, them encountering the Holy Spirit. Pulled anybody, but he pulled these two. Number one, Abraham. He said, Abraham. Boxes of denominationalism, of our teachings, or of our theology boxes. He just won't fit in there. He's just a lot bigger than that. He's God. So how are you gonna put him in a box? You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So we dealt with that pretty detailed last week. Jesus is speaking about a power dynamic that's going to be added to the believer. And again, what's the purpose of the power? What does he say right there? The purpose of the power is to do what? To be his witnesses. In Jerusalem, that's the hometown where there are, actually. And in all Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth. That's how it got to us, you know. So he's talking about this power dynamic. So what, as we look at these other stories, this is what I want you to do. Let's look for how the power is manifested. Because it kind of gives us an idea of what we're seeking and searching and asking and praying for. And what we maybe can expect. Although he always blows our expectations. Okay? Blows them away. All right, so now, Acts 2. So they go into an upper room for 10 days. And they're praying, fellowshipping, in and out. Somebody's going to buying groceries. And Peter's out there burning something on the grill. Something they got to eat, you know. You think about that. They're kind of coming and going over these 10-day period, but they're really praying and seeking God, too. It says that they're in this house all together, 120 of them, one accord. Okay, and there's a debate whether or not it's in the house or talking about the temple. They're probably coming and going. All right? We covered that last week, but let's reiterate it. We're not going to read it, Acts 2. Maybe you go back and read it later. Judas. But when the rest of them had come together, they asked Jesus. Remember we talked about that? When you get immersed into the reality of the Holy Spirit, you begin to hear differently. And you begin to hear from heaven. That's a euphemism for God. You begin to hear God. Okay. They heard this sound from heaven, and it sounded like a rushing mighty wind. And then fire set upon each one of them, right? It's pretty dynamic what's happening here. This fire set upon each one of them. Why is each one so important? If you remember what we talked about last week. Why is each one so important? It's for everybody, right? This dynamic that Jesus is bringing on the scene with the Holy Spirit life and Holy Spirit reality is for everybody. It's not just for the prophets and the priests and the kings and all the things that we see in the Old Testament, those people that are anointed or maybe what we'd call filled with the Spirit. It's great stories we've got with all that. But now the Holy Spirit comes and fire here is the presence of God. So what is happening is God is, see, they knew God lived in that tabernacle and in that temple. They knew he lived there because that's where the fire was. You've heard the term Shekinah glory, that kind of thing. That fire was in there. I want you to get this picture. This is my interpretation. I have no idea if this is what happened. Jesus can straighten me out, but this is what I'm thinking. My imagination goes here. That fire that was there in that temple come rushing out of that Holy of Holies, and it come rolling down, and it went to that little old house. 120 of them are in there. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, moved his residence from that temple, and he said, hey, I got me a whole brand new house. I got 120 temples I'm going to right here. And Paul uses that wording and that language to help us purify our lives, live in a different way. And he says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And you belong to him. Why did he have to say, don't you know? Because they're acting like they don't know. That God has promised to send us a helper. All right? The world, even today. He's an upstanding, outstanding man. Rahab, they spoke in other tongues or languages right there, other earthly languages that they didn't study for. I've been in Turkey a bunch of times, and I prayed that that would happen to me. Because I tell you what, taking them language courses is awful. Especially Turkish language. It's just different. I know just enough to get me in trouble in a taxi cab. I know that's what I know in Turkish. And some chicken. I know how to get some chicken. Kind of like you do Spanish, right? Anyway, they were filled with these languages. And they began to speak. Remember everybody was there for the Feast of Pentecost? And they began to speak to each other and all these things. It's pretty wild. In fact, everybody looked at it. Remember it said that they were amazed. They were perplexed. Like, this is strange. This is strange stuff. And it says that they, when they were speaking in these languages that they didn't study, people understood them who were native to that language. They understood and they heard them speak the wonderful works of God. It seems like that this dynamic of power is always tied up with some kind of speech. Some kind of speech. You're going to see that. Peter was empowered to communicate. He preached one of the greatest sermons that's ever been preached. 3,000 people came to know Christ right then. Boom. So do you see all the power? The power is starting to happen. You shall receive power. It's starting to happen. Stuff's happening. But this power is going to cause a lot of trouble too, isn't it? Mm-hmm. All right. Questions? I know you got questions now. You're just sitting there all nice and studious, taking notes and stuff. I know you got questions because I got a bunch of them.
No, I was just going to say, when the disciples began speaking in other languages, isn't it much like what happened at the Tower of Babel?
It's the opposite of what happened at the Tower of Babel, where the languages were confused at the Tower of Babel. And now they come together in the unity,
yeah.
And it's reversed.
Mm-hmm. That made them go out because mm-hmm. they weren't going out and multiplying like he told them.
One of my teachers, the guy I traveled with several times, whenever we go to a foreign country or something, and he'd try to speak to somebody, he would always look at me and say, "I hate the Tower of Babel," because he couldn't understand nobody. He can't even communicate, you know. And you know what you do if you don't know the language, don't you? You use your hands and you talk loud. One time I was with a man, he's gone to Jesus now, but we were putting in some concrete floors in Honduras, and Mr. Brian had like four Hondurans in there working with him, just floating out this concrete and stuff, and I could hear Mr. Brian across the way. I thought something was wrong. He was like, hey, he was talking to, and I said, I walked in, I said, "Mr. Brian, you all right?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Why?" I said, "Well, you're awful loud." I said, "What you talking so loud for?" He said, "Well, because they can't understand me." It was just funny. Yeah, so that's what we do. We just talk louder, right? Just talk louder, Steve. You got that? All right. Now, we need to go to something else here. All right. Let's go to Joel chapter 2. Joel 2:28. Joel 2:28. Now, we're going back to the source here, and this is listed out in Acts 1 right here. But I wanted you to see it in the source, in the writing of Prophet Joel. Peter says, "This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel." Okay? This is what the prophet Joel said. "And it shall come to pass afterward," Peter calls it the last days, "that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Okay, so that's a power we can expect. So what does it mean to prophesy? Let's get that idea. What does it mean to prophesy? Prophesy means to speak on behalf of God. And you either speak His word or you speak a word. That's the idea of prophesying. It says speaking again. Who's going to spend your days? Should your faith in Jesus affect the way you... No, when he says on your sons and your daughters, who does he mean? That's everybody. Everybody. Can be kids. Would there be enough evidence to convict you? And yes, kids, that'd be great. Get them in that already. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Your old men, I think I'm in that category by now. Your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. So we can expect that power. We dream dreams. What kind of dreams? What kind of dreams where God can communicate? Communicate things. Just out of curiosity, how many folks have had some dreams that have influenced your life? Anybody? Mm-hmm. I've had several. Now, it don't happen every night. I couldn't stand it if it did, to be honest with you. I mean, you'd go bonkers trying to chase it all down. But when do you dream? When you sleep. So at night, these old men, because they done wore themselves out probably, God's going to be able to say, "Hey, this is what I want to do. And it might be on behalf of somebody. It might be just on behalf of the church. It might be on behalf of themselves. So we can expect that. Right? Now, is every dream from God? No. I mean, you get a lot of Fruit Loops coming out of this stuff now. Folks want to make something out of everything. That's not always the case now. Got to be very discerning about this thing. Solomon said that many of your dreams come through the whole processing of your day. You know, so we got to stay rooted and grounded here. Lest we get into that, you know, what, never mind. That's good. That's true. Oh, well.
I knew at that moment that's what my dream was about. When I had the dream, I just started praying for her, you know, and fighting that enemy that was fixing to come against her.
That's true, and that was a directive to pray in a certain direction, is what that was, right? So now these dreams, because the only way dreams come true is if you wake up, right? You got to wake up out of that dream to make whatever God gave you in that dream a reality, right? Anyway. Now, your young men shall see visions. That's, young men do that. Young men, they got strength to do it. And the idea is God can give it to them and empower them with it. All right. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Again, open it up to everybody. And I will show wonders in the heavens. So we can expect that. So what's a wonder? That's something that makes you wonder. Makes you wonder what's happening here. And if you ain't never been in that kind of thing, we need to get you a hold of that. We need to get you to experience that. Because God will make you wonder. I want to be so childlike that I just go out there and I just am amazed by a sunrise. I want to always keep that. You know what I'm talking about? I want to keep that wonder and amazement. And when God shows up, and when God speaks to me, and he does from time to time, and I hear that, it's a wonder to me that he would talk to me. What in the world? Ain't nobody. I mean, really? That's a miracle. You know, I don't ever want to lose that. Okay? Wonder in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Now he starts talking about maybe some of this end time stuff. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right. So you see the power. There's some power there. Now let's go here. Just a couple more. We're done. Acts 4, 23 through 31. Let's go over here. All right. Acts 4. Okay. Acts 3 and 4 tied together, kind of the same story. They flow together. And Acts 3 is that miracle at that beautiful gate, or the gate called Beautiful, where that man has been there for a long time. And then Peter looks at him and says, "Silver and gold, I don't have any. I'm just a broke preacher. But what I do have, I'm going to give you in the name of Jesus." What? Remember? Rise up and walk. Remember that deal? And he went throughout all the temple and jumping, shouting, hollering, and skipping, dancing, running, having a great time. Stirred up quite a mess. Turns out that this miracle caused a lot of trouble for Peter and John. And that's where we pick it up in chapter 4. Okay, you can read 3 and 4 together to get the details, but let's pick it up right here. They've been interrogated by the council. They brought them, and this is where we get the line that there is no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved but the name of Jesus. We get that out of Peter's response to them. It's right here in chapter 4, early chapter 4. And they're let go out of this meeting, okay? And being let go, Peter and John, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. In other words, they told them, "Don't preach in this name of Jesus anymore." And they just look at him and say, "Look, man, whether we should obey you or God, you decide. But for us, we're going to do what God says. That's what we're going to do. You just do what you got to do. But we ain't stopping. That's what they said, basically. So he goes and tells everybody all that. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them. They just kind of break out into a prayer meeting right here. Who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Does that sound familiar? That's kind of what's happening in our world today. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats. They've threatened their lives. Well, they killed Jesus. They know it's not a hollow threat. And grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. We probably would have prayed something different. Lord, make them stop. But Peter says, give me more of what got me in trouble, because I really don't care. They need to hear anyway. You see what I'm talking about? They already got a taste of something already that's made them bold. That's what the Holy Spirit's done for them. Give us boldness that we, all of us together, may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal. Healing's what got them in trouble now. Give us more of that. While they're going to come after us, we're going to help some folks get out of trouble. Stretch out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So in other words, Lord, don't hide us away until you come and get us out of here. Give us more boldness. Give us more power to do what you called us to do and see your kingdom come. We want that power. Give us signs and wonders. Give us the power to heal. We'll go out there in boldness. I don't care what they say. They can take my life if they want to. But I will not shut up and I will not stop. They're praying that to God. That already tells you they got something already that the average bear don't have. Look what happens. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Didn't I tell you that power is going to come out in your speech, in your speaking? What did they specifically speak? The word of God. And that old prayer meeting turned into something else, didn't it? That was quite a time. Now just imagine. You come to church one day. I done got in trouble with the law for preaching on the square. And I come busting in the door and y'all all in here. And we just go to praying. And we say, God, just keep pouring on us. Make us stronger. Make us stronger. Make us stronger than what's coming after us. Make it stronger. And God hears it. And the whole building starts shaking. Some of y'all are going to be all right and some of y'all are going to get out of here. I'm just going to tell you, that's the way to be. They already been in a house where he filled it up with some wind already and a sound. And now they're in a house where he just shaking it. I don't know. Maybe Jesus got happy and just started tapping his foot. I don't know what happened. Because he likes it when we pray like that now. He will answer those kind of prayers. Well, there you go. So, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute now. Didn't they received the Holy Spirit back over here in John 20. The day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And now this is just a few days later. I don't know how long. The book of Acts is like a 40-year period. It's like a highlight reel of a 40-year period of the early church. I don't know how long. It's just a few days or weeks, not long at all. And they get in field again. Now, what a minute. Wait. Can you get filled more than once? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wonder why? Somebody said, if the Holy Spirit fills you once, you need it again because you leak. We do, don't we? We leak out. We need more. So this same bunch now gets filled again. Okay? So what I'm saying is, it's just not a one and done type deal. Never is. Never is with the Holy Spirit. Right. We'll get into Paul later next week, Lord willing. And the power came out in this speaking the word of God with boldness. All right, now let's look at this last one before we go. Let's go over here. What's my next scripture? Acts 8, 14 through 25. Are y'all okay? 8, 14. I want to back up a couple verses, I think. Okay. Now, Philip. Philip got a couple things the Lord does with him from Acts chapter 6 and on. And Stephen, that's a couple great deacons in the church. Stephen has just been killed, been stoned. The Apostle Paul's on the scene. He's not the Apostle Paul right now. He's just Saul. He's Saul of Tarsus. And he's up on the hill and they take the coats and lay it at his feet. That has just happened. Okay. And here we let's pick it up. There's a sorcerer in town. There's a witch. His name is Simon. And he's following Philip around. And he's kind of, promoting him in town. I mean, this sorcerer has got a lot of the connections and a lot of powerful people. They use his magic and his wizardry to get things done. And he recognizes Philip's from God. He's like from the Most High, he says. And Simon follows him around. And finally, Philip just gets tired of it and he casts the devil out of him. And the man gets born again. So let's pick it up right here in verse number 12. I think I said 14 in your notes, but let's back up to 12. All these people in Samaria, remember, you shall receive power and to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Those are all kind of phases. The book of Acts is kind of wrapped around that. Jerusalem, Judea. That's like Jerusalem, like the city. Judea is like the southern countryside. Samaria. Now, that's enemy territory. Remember, Jesus has already made way into Samaria. He met a woman at the well that time. He's already got some followers in Samaria already. That's where Philip is. He's in that area. It's where they're feuding cousins, basically. They hate each other. Philip's in there sharing the gospel. It says, when they believed, the Samaritans, Jesus has already laid the groundwork in that town. And they come, Philip comes, and they believe him. They believe Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Who, when they had come down, Peter and John came to Samaria, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, now here's one of those passages where we get the idea that this receiving the Holy Spirit, or baptism with the Holy Spirit, immersed in the reality of the Holy Spirit, is separate from the point of being saved and water baptized. Just let the Scripture just talk to us. I know a lot of denominations teach you get it all when you're saved. And you certainly can. Doesn't have to be two different time frames. But right here in Acts chapter 8, they got water baptized. They believed in Jesus. They sent the apostles down there, John, Peter and John, and they said, y'all go teach them about the Holy Spirit. Talk to them about it. You see it separate? You see it separate right there? Okay. I don't know. Some of your minds. All right. Everybody good? For as yet, he, the Holy Spirit, had fallen upon none of them. Had they been saved and water baptized? Yes. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they, Peter and John, laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. He'd been used to that game. He said, I want to get in. How much is this going to cost me to do? And Peter flips the lid. He says, saying, give me this power also that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. And he didn't say it as nice as I just said it, I don't think. We're talking about Peter here. I got a feeling he said it with one hand around his collar or something. I don't know. He takes this stuff pretty serious. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Oh boy, just got baptized. He wasn't ready for all that, was he? Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have said may come upon me. So when they testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Okay. I was asking you to look for the power dynamic. What was the power dynamic? They received the Holy Spirit. What was the power dynamic? We were actually not told. Not really. Other than the boldness, and we got the, you know, the receiving of the Spirit for somebody else. They're imparting it now, imparting the Spirit to other people that are outside of the 120, outside of the apostles. That's some of the power. But there seems to have been some sort of manifestation that Simon, this carnal man, could recognize. Did they speak in tongues? Well, I was raised Pentecostal, and everybody always said, yes, they spoke in tongues. There's just no doubt about it. And I said, does the Bible say that? It don't say that. Why did it not say that? Well, that's just, it was just understood. Well, oh yeah, let's don't do that to the Bible now. Why didn't the Holy Spirit have that written in? Because he didn't want you just to think that it's just this and this and this and this and this and this. And it's cookie cutter. It's not cookie cutter. You see what I'm saying? But there was some kind of manifestation of power. This man wanted to buy it. Remember?
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you with that tonight. Okay? So where are we going with all this? Well, this is in your Bible, folks. Maybe you've studied this. I hope you have. I want you to know that there's always more. There's always more. It don't matter how long you've been walking in Jesus. It don't matter how many experiences you've had, dreams, visions. There's always more. So here's my word to you as we leave. Stay hungry. Stay hungry. God wants to use you in a great way. But think about this. Jesus did not start his ministry without the Holy Spirit coming and resting on him. The apostles did not walk out of Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came upon them. Do you need it less than they do? No, no, no. You may be more of a joker than they are. We may need it more, actually. I might need it more. There's always more. So you just let the Lord just lead you and talk to you however you need to. There's always more. Our world, the world around us, our community, the people we work with, they need to see. I'm not talking about some kind of flake and fruit loop. They need to see a real, live, Spirit-filled person. They need to encounter somebody that's got the Spirit of God living in them. That's the only hope they got. So, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. We're still trying to figure all this out 2,000 years later, really. What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit in your life and Spirit filled and Spirit back. What's all baptized with? What's all it mean? Lord, continue to teach us, Lord. But not just teach us for the sake of learning, Lord, but teach us for the sake of doing what you called us to do. We need that power you talked about, and it can come out in 150 different ways, and we need that. Our world needs to see that. To be honest, I want to see it. I want to see it in my days. So, Lord, start it with us. Stir us a hunger in us. We want all you got, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.